night. I would like to turn your attention to the book of Psalms, if you will turn with me this evening, to the book of Psalms, chapter 84. I'm going to begin reading with verse 5. And I'm going to read through verse 7. Psalms chapter 84, verse 5 through 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Now, in perhaps some of your Bibles, you will have the Revised Version. And I'm going to read verse 6 again as it is rendered in the Revised Version. I'm going to read verse 5 and come to verse 6. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of spring. Yea, the early rain covereth it with blessings. I want to speak to you for a little while tonight, for a few minutes anyway, on the valley of Baca. And the reason I want to speak to you on the valley of Baca, because it is a valley that every one of us must go through. Do you realize that there cannot be mountains without valleys? And that it's utterly impossible to have valleys without mountains? How many of you have ever been in the state of Kansas? They don't know anything about mountains and valleys in some parts of Kansas. Did you know that? It's just one great vast prairie stretching out as far as you can see to the horizon. No valleys, no mountains. You see, it takes the valleys to make the mountains. Did you know that? And it takes the mountains to have the valleys. You've got to have them, both of them. And we find, according to the Word of God, that life, the Christian life, that is made up of valleys and mountains. And there are many, many scriptures spoken of in referring to mountains and valleys. For instance, the Bible in the book of Daniel tells us that the time is coming that a stone cut out of the mountain without hands is going to smite the image upon his feet. And it's going to crumble. It's going to fall. It's going to go into oblivion. And that little stone is going to grow and increase until it becomes a great mountain that's going to fill the universe. Hallelujah. And it's going to reign over the kingdoms of men. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible speaks of God's mountain, Mount Zion. God roaring from Mount Zion, speaking from Mount Zion. Mountains are spoken of in the Scripture. And we read how that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. Many times Jesus went into the mountain to pray, alone many times, during His ministry, when many were being healed and delivered by the power of God. And yet, do you know that He also went into valleys? The Garden of Gethsemane is located in a valley. We were there last summer. Went into the Valley of Gethsemane, located in the Valley of Kedron. They call it actually the Valley of Judgment at the upper end. But it's located between the city of Jerusalem and between the Mount of Olives. And Jesus resorted thither many times with His disciples. And especially at a time when His heart was sorrowful. At a time when He, as the Son of Man, was going through a valley. At a time when He had to pray, "Not my will, but thy will be done. If possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done." He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, a garden that's located almost in the valley, in the bottom of a valley, to pray and seek the face of the Lord. Valleys and mountains. Oh, there's so much said that we could preach all evening just on the valleys and the mountains and the experiences men have found in them. But we do want to talk to you about this experience of going to the Valley of Baca. First of all, let me mention a mountain. In the New Testament, we read how Jesus went up into a mountain that's called the Mount of Transfiguration. And he took with him Peter, James, and John. And on that mount, as they were with Jesus, he was transfigured before them. And the Bible tells us that his garment was glistering. And the Greek rendering of that word is that his garment became as a lightning that shineth from the east unto the west. So glorious was his transfiguration before them, and this transformation that they could not look upon him. And they fell, as it were, upon their faces to the ground. And we know that Moses and Elijah came and talked to Christ concerning his decease. And finally, when they did lift up their heads, they saw Jesus only. And they said to him, "O Lord, this is such a glorious experience. This is so wonderful. This transfiguration, this which we have experienced, and this which we have heard, let's build 3 tabernacles right here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." How many of you have ever felt that when you reach that mountaintop of some spiritual experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you just wanted to stay on that mountain forever? You never wanted to leave it. Or whatever it might be that God has brought you to, a glorious deliverance, a glorious moving of God in your life. And you just feel like you're in heaven. Have you ever sang that chorus there? Do you ever sing it? "Yeah, this is like heaven to me." And have you ever felt that this was like heaven to you? We know in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we taste the powers of the world to come. We can taste of the powers of the world to come. And we sing, "It's like heaven to me." And so we find that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration was so tremendous, so wonderful, as the Lord prefigured His resurrection, that they just didn't want to leave that mountain. They didn't want to go down to the valley. But Jesus made them to know that it was down in the valley where the people were. It was down there where the heartaches were. It was down there where they were crying out in pain and needed to be delivered. It was there that their demons were binding the hearts and souls and minds of men and women and boys and girls. It was there that they were in pain and grief and sorrow, and they wanted and were laboring under the heavy burden of sin. It was in the valley. It was down below the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus said, "We must go there." And so we find that we cannot stay on the mountain. And there has to be a valley experience, and there will be various valley experiences in your life and mine. As glorious as this service is tonight, or the service this morning was to you, or the services you've had in the past, we all have times when we have our valleys. And that I perceive that, and you can realize that from the service this morning, when some came up to be prayed for, some wanted a deliverance, and they came and gave their testimony. Because while some may be on the mountain, others may be in the valley. We realize that God had told us that this would be true. Moses was on the mount, Mount Sinai. The glory of God came down upon that mountain. The power of God was upon it. It shook. And Moses went into that mountain. He talked with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And when Moses came down from that mountain, his face shone so wonderfully, so gloriously, they could not look upon his face. He had to put a veil upon his face. How many of you feel that sometimes that's the way it is? And after all, when we're filled with the glory and the power and the anointing of God, it gives us shining faces, doesn't it? I preached a message recently in our church on shining faces. And I showed them that it's in the Word of God, shining faces. I preached how Stephen, while they were stoning him, imagine, and gnashing upon him with their teeth, his face shone like an angel. Oh, hallelujah. This is what happens when we live in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But Moses couldn't stay on the mountain. He had to come back to the valley. And it was a valley of trial and testing for him. For as he came down off of that mountain and saw them worshiping a golden calf and standing there with the commandments of God upon the tablets of stone, he couldn't stand it. And he threw them down and broke them because they were breaking God's commandments. because they were not worshiping God. It was a trial. It was a testing. After all the glory of God's presence, the finger of God writing upon the tables of stone, and now to come down from that fellowship with God and see them worshiping a calf was more than Moses could take. There is a valley experience. Moses knew what it was to go into the valley. And Elijah also went to the top of Mount Carmel. And there he called the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And he called the children of God. And there we find that the false prophets had their hour and had their time. And they could produce nothing. But when Elijah prayed a simple prayer in faith, God sent fire from heaven that consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the water. Hallelujah. Licked it up in the trench around about. And we find there was a great victory. And we find that the prophets of the grove and the Baal were destroyed. And yet only a short time later, Elijah was under a juniper tree and he said, "Lord, take my life. I'm the only one left. It's possible." You never know when your valley is going to come, or when my valley experience will come, our trials, our testings that the valley represents. But we read here, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." In Isaiah chapter 35, it tells us there is a highway of God, and that we are walking upon that highway. And it tells us that this highway is a highway in which the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with song and everlasting joy upon their heads. And this is true. Praising and worshiping the Lord. There is a highway. And the Bible says here, "Blessed is the man whose strength whose hearts are in the highways, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." Passing through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping, they make it. The ones who are passing through the valley of Baca, they make it. A valley of fountains, a valley of springs. Praise the Lord. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Because there will be trials, and there will be testings, and there will be persecutions, and there will be afflictions, and there will be misunderstandings. There will be heartache. There will be times of weeping. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise the Lord. And passing through the valley of Baca, what happens? They make it a place of springs. They take that place of weeping, and they begin to dig. And they make that desolate place, that place of sorrow, that place of heartache, that place of trials, and that place of suffering, they make it a place of joy. They make it a place of praise. They make it a place of delight. Hallelujah. They make it. Praise the Lord. We think of Joseph. I want you to know that when he went out to go to his brethren and to find out their report, and to bring news from his father and to take provision to them, he was riding upon a mountaintop. And I can see him as he goes across the land of Judea, the land of Israel, singing and praising God. Hallelujah. Every day is sweeter than the day before. But as he comes close to his brethren, he perceives that they are not singing the same song he is singing. They're frowning. They have hatred in their face. They are not rejoicing. They take him from his beast of burden and they throw him into a dry pit. And now, he doesn't sing every day with Jesus as sweeter than the day before. But we find in the Scripture, he's crying for mercy and he's weeping and he's saying, "Why, Lord? Why, Lord?" They sell him into, they were going to destroy his life. He hears them plotting. Let's get rid of him. Let's destroy him. But then God begins to work as he begins to pray. And we find that they sell him into the hands of the Midianites, the traveling merchants, on their way down to a far distant country called Egypt. Oh, yes. He knew where that was. That's a long ways away. They had never been there. But that's where he was going. And I can see Joseph as he's on the camel. His hands are bound. And he cannot go off the camel.
And he is weeping and he's saying to his brethren, please, please, brethren, don't sell me. And they hear his plaintive cry as he disappears over the sand dunes and over the dry, barren waste. And they say, we've gotten rid of our brother. We'll never see him anymore. And he went down into the land of Egypt, far away from his home, far away from his church, far away from his pastor, far away from his Bible school. I mean, he was alone, alone with God. But according to the record, he came through all right. Do you know why? I believe that in the valley of weeping, that Joseph began to dig springs. Hallelujah. And he found that God was in Egypt as well as in the land of Israel. He found that the Lord was just as real and just as precious. And God began to commune with him. And God began to talk to him. And God blessed him in the house of Potiphar. And he walked with God. And everything he did was blessed. And he was praising and worshiping the Lord. And he knew that God was with him, even in Egypt. And then, lo and behold, he went off the mountain again, right down into another valley, and this valley happened to be a dungeon. Down into the dungeon in Egypt he went. Didn't do a thing except resist evil and resist sin and resist the devil, but there he was. And we could say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Oh, we were having such a revival, and you were blessing me, and I knew you were with me. And you, oh Lord, you were so wonderful. Why am I down here in this prison? And he was there 2 long years, but I want you to know that God again found Joseph, or should I say, Joseph dug wells in the bottom of the prison. Hallelujah. And while down in that prison, he began to dig wells of praise and worship and consecration. Hallelujah to the Lord, and God was with him. And God even prospered him as a prisoner in the prison. Amen? I'll tell you, it pays to dig wells. It pays to dig wells. He could have dug his grave instead. He could have given up. He could have said, God has forsaken me. God isn't interested in me. He could have wept his heart out and languished away and pined away in prison. But he didn't. He didn't. And he came up out of that prison and was next to Pharaoh himself. And he declared to his own brethren, by the revelation of Almighty God, that God sent me here to preserve your own lives. They didn't deserve it, but I'll tell you, if ever there's a story of grace and mercy, it's found in that story. And I have wept over more over the story of Joseph. I cannot even read the story of Joseph without weeping. Do you know that? That's the truth. I cannot read it. It is such a touching, wonderful story. But he dug wells. Praise the Lord. We look at the life of David. Here was David, a young, ruddy shepherd boy. And oh my, as he lay out under the stars tending the sheep, he felt the blessings of God. He had communication with the Lord. God was in his life and he knew it. And he was willing to obey and serve God. And he had faith in God. So much faith that when the lion came into the flock, he would deliver the lamb out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. And he trusted God to help him. And the day finally came. He had no inkling that this would happen, but he was called to make haste to the home of his father Jesse. And coming into the home, there his brethren were standing around, and Samuel the prophet had come to visit. And Samuel the prophet wasted no time, but took the horn of oil and poured it out upon the head of this young shepherd boy called David. And as the horn of oil was poured upon him, and the oil began to flow down upon this young man, the glory of God came down upon him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he felt the Spirit of Almighty God. He felt that tremendous baptism. And he was, oh, what a rejoicing. Oh, how wonderful. What a glorious experience. Was he on the mountaintop or was he in the valley? He was on the mountaintop. And as he went up to view the battle that was about to be engaged, nearby there was a valley. And the children of Israel were afraid to go into the valley. They were afraid of what the valley experience might do to them. They were afraid of the enemy that was challenging them in the valley. And they ran and hid in their tents. But David said, I am willing to go into the valley and trust that God will bring me through. And David went into the valley to meet a giant and defeated him because he had faith in God, because he had dug his wells. Praise the Lord, his springs of living water. Oh, hallelujah. But you know, it was not too long after that, while David was playing the harp under the anointing of God's Spirit, worshiping God, praising God like we've been doing in this assembly, singing, Jesus, I love you, I do, I really do. Oh, the Lord wasn't, he didn't know his name, but he was worshiping the Lord. I'm just paraphrasing. But I want you to know we have valleys like he did. I want you to know we're not talking about mythology. We're not telling you something that doesn't happen in our lives. David went into a valley. Saul was jealous. And under the influence of an evil spirit, he reached out and he grabbed a hold of his spear. And he threw it at David. And it went into the woods near him, barely missing him. And David jumped up in fright. What happened? A moment ago, he was tasting of the glory of God. And now a fear was in his heart. And he ran out of that place, fleeing from the presence of Saul. And from that time forward, David was fleeing for his life. He said, what have I done? I haven't done anything. I delivered Israel. Why is your father doing this, Jonathan? Why is he doing this to me? And Jonathan said, because he's jealous and because he knows you're going to be king. But you know something? As I read in the book of Psalms and read the life of David, I know something. David dug some springs in the valley of Baca. Praise the Lord. He dug some springs in the valley of Baca. And we read how David said, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. We read a story where David with choice men, or with Saul rather, with choice men, had David and his little group of men surrounded. And they were closing the net. They were just about to get him this time. And David knew there was no way out. And he raised his hand and his voice and his heart and he said, oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, Lord. I trust you. And while he was praising and worshiping God while the net closed in, a messenger came into the camp and said, breathlessly said to Saul, 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 the Philistines have invaded the land. And Saul had to turn away from David and flee after the Philistines. He dug some springs in the valley of Baca. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'll tell you, there are times when we have our valleys of sorrows and trials and testing. And if you haven't had them, you're going to have them. That's why I'm preaching this message tonight. I want you to know that it isn't always going to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. It isn't always going to be, we are not always going to be on Mount Carmel. We're not always going to be on the top of Mount Sinai. We're going to be in the valley at times. We're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to dig. We're going to have to dig down into the ground, into the deserted soil. We're going to have to reach out for God when it seems as if there's no help and no one to help us. And we're going to have to dig until we find the water. And then the water will spring up, will give us life and rejoicing. Hallelujah. I think of poor Jonah. You know why Jonah had his valley, don't you? Because he didn't want to go on an outreach program. That's right. God had a pace arrow for him and everything. He didn't want to go that way. So he went down to the harbor in Seattle and took a ship and tried to sail somewhere else. And tried to sail out of God's will and out of God's presence. And you know something out there? God had a valley prepared for him. The Bible says God prepared a valley. He prepared a great fish. And Jonah went down into the belly of that fish. And he said the seaweed was wrapped around his head. I'll tell you, he was in a deep valley.
A valley that many never went into until they invented submarines. The valley in the bottom of the ocean. And he went down into that valley. And I want you to know, if he had not dug springs in the whale's stomach, he would never have made it. He said, those that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. He could have said, I feel the juices working on me. I'm in the stomach of a whale. I know what's going to happen to me. I'm a goner. Oh, I'll tell you, that's the most natural reaction you could ever have when you're down in the belly of a whale. But he said, he realized, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So he began to look away towards God's heaven, and he began to dig wells, hallelujah. And the whale couldn't take it, and went and spit him out on dry ground, and he headed for Nineveh to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, there may be valleys of weeping. We may go through the valley of Baca because we may have come off of one mountain. But I want you to know, if you're going to go to the next mountain of victory and the next mountain of glory and power and rejoicing, you can't get to another mountain without going through a valley. That's right. We're not on a prairie. Hallelujah. It's just one mountaintop to another and one valley to another of trusting and believing and walking with God. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Why, this isn't something that just happens so rarely in the life of a Christian that we say, oh God, I must have missed your will. Why is this happening? Think it not strange. Count it all joy if you suffer as a Christian. And the Bible says, if you want to be perfect, how many of you want to be perfect? How many of you want to be entire? Wanting nothing. Hallelujah, are you sure? Count it all joy when you fall into divers trials and testings. What do you say? Praise God, I'm in the trial. Hallelujah, I'm going through the valley. What do? Dig ditches. Hallelujah. Let God fill them up with water. That's what they did when they went out to fight against the enemy and they found they had no water. And they called the prophet and the minstrel began to play. And the Spirit of the Lord said, dig ditches. So they dug ditches and went to bed thirsty and woke up in the morning and found they had a whole valley full of water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And God gave them the victory over the enemy. Oh, does it pay to dig springs in the valley of Baca? Or should we sit down and die? You know something? Many times when we get in the valley of Baca, if we aren't careful, we will not see the deliverance that God has already for us. We read back in the book of Genesis chapter 21, and Abraham, verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. What valley was she in? What valley was she in? The valley of Baca. Out there in Beersheba, right? That was the valley of Baca for her. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? What aileth thee, Hagar? She was weeping. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Oh, praise God. She never saw that before. She was about to die. She was weeping. The child was going to die. She went a long ways off so she wouldn't see it die. And there was a well of water right there, close by. It was there all the time. God opened her eyes and showed her there was a well of water. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That in the valley of Baca, there are wells of water. Hallelujah. Springs of water. If you'll just look away to Jesus, if you'll just praise Him and glorify Him and believe Him and dig the wells
through praise and consecration and trust and confidence, you will find that the wells of water are already there. Praise the Lord. Isn't it a shame that some perish while others have deliverance? Some go in the valley and they sit under the juniper tree and they die. Others go in the valley and they said, praise God, I'm going to dig a well right here. Hallelujah. And they begin to glorify and praise the Lord. Oh, it's so someone said, but why don't praise God? It's impossible. Oh, the enemy is so great. There's no use. You might as well give up. But they just go right on digging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory. Praise the Lord. All things are possible with God. And all things are possible to them that believe. And as they begin to dig a well, pretty soon they hit a geyser. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And there it goes, like an oil well, you know. Hallelujah. And so God opened her eyes and she saw a well. Bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Praise the Lord. Paul and Silas, they had been beaten. Their hands and feet were bound in stocks. The rats were running up and down and the cockroaches were having fun in the dank, rank, old, smelly, foul, unsanitary dungeon that Paul and Silas were in. And I want you to know the dungeons in those days were just like that. Believe me. And there they were. And Silas turned to Paul and said, Paul, do you think it pays to be a Christian? No, Silas didn't say any such thing. The Bible says they lifted up their voices. They couldn't lift up their hands, but they lifted up their voices. And they began to praise and worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, God was so wonderful. Jesus was so real to them. And you know what they did? They began to dig wells in the Valley of Baca. Hallelujah. They didn't even have a valley of weeping. They just took the valley and turned it upside down. And God sent an earthquake and opened the prison doors. And a jailer got saved and his family because they were praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. In the midst of their trials and testing, they learned how to get victory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could go on and on and on tonight. Daniel in the lion's den, thrown in, lions growling, stalking, back and forth, hungry, hadn't eaten for a few days, and just waiting for someone to be tossed to them. And soon here he came, and Daniel came sailing down into the prison. And they thought, boy, this is going to be good. But God closed their mouths and they couldn't enjoy any of it. And Daniel there in the lion's den made one of them a pillow and slept all night comfortable while the king tossed all night, was unable to sleep. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. He was in his valley, but God brought him through. Oh, praise be to the Lord. I want you to know it pays to trust God. It pays to worship. It pays to praise the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Yea, the rain covereth it with blessings. Isn't that wonderful? The rain covereth it with blessings. And then it goes on to say, they go from strength to strength. In the New Testament, it says, from glory to glory. I'm going to say, from mountain to mountaintop. Hallelujah. As we go from to the valley. From mountaintop to mountaintop. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. From strength to strength. Because they dug springs in the valley of Baca. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we will all have our valley experiences. But I want you to know that every valley takes us to another mountain that's a little higher and more glorious. Just get your eye on Jesus. Don't stay in the valley. Let the Lord open your eyes and you'll find that there's a well there. And you can slake your thirst and you can go on and climb the next mountain. And you can get up and say, praise God, the Lord has been so wonderful again to me. Hallelujah.
Now, there may be some tonight that are going into the valley. There may be some that are in the valley. There may be some that will go into the valley in the future. But I want you to know, if you're in the valley tonight, there's an answer in God's Word. It's all in praise and worship and trust and confidence. It's just believing. It's letting God open your eyes. It's getting down there and beginning to dig. Hallelujah. By faith, knowing that there's water there in that old dry valley for you. Praise the Lord. If you're going through a valley tonight, God is able to strengthen you and bless you and give you joy and peace. And God is able to open those prison doors like He did for Paul and Silas. And He'll do it for you. And He'll bless you abundantly. May the Lord help you tonight to realize that as we go onward and upward, we're going to continue to dig springs in the valley for the glory of God. I'm going to turn this service back to your pastor. God bless you.